We know physicians like to learn by case study. We visited a busy family practitioner who serves a large population and finds himself giving preconception advice to many women he sees. We spent a day with Dr. Ben Honeycutt, who's based in Lexington, Kentucky, to get a feel for what he hears from women and what he tells them about folic acid.
Most of my practice is located in Lexington, Kentucky, which is largely indigent, underserved, and anybody else who walks in the door. In Kentucky, we have a higher rate of neural tube defects. We're 1.5 times the national average. So that tells you that ultimately what we really need to do is concentrate on trying to prevent disease.
So what's going on, stranger? How you doing?
Okay.
For most of our patients, they have absolutely no concept of the importance of folic acid. I think that it's basically just not introduced as a primary concern in health education.
Folic acid, it helps you make iron?
No. You need about 200, maybe 400 micrograms of folic acid anyway, regardless of the iron. Regarding preconceptual counseling of folic acid supplementation and diets, I think most physicians are aware of it. The real question is, in a 15-minute slot of time in our day, do we really make the time to emphasize that which is important? And the honest answer is that most physicians don't have the time to counsel on everything, and they pick that which is important to them. And I also work at the health department here in Frankfort, Kentucky. The majority of preconceptual counseling we provide is largely in the context of well-woman exams.
Here for an appointment, please.
Here at the health department, we have two nurse practitioners who work in the clinic. They spend intensive time largely with preconceptual counseling.
I'm Tammy. I'm going to be your nurse today.
With vitamin recommendations, with STD recommendations.
This is your first pregnancy?
It is.
We want anyone who is of childbearing age to take the folic acid because it helps prevent the birth defects. We explain how folic acid works, that it does help with the development of red blood cells, and that they need 400 micrograms every day. We explain to them about how it can prevent spina bifida, and we give the multivitamin that has the 400 micrograms of folic acid.
Thank you.
We try to give them the information ahead of time so that if they do have questions, they can ask once they see the physician.
I came to the clinic today because I needed some information on what I needed to do before I got pregnant. Now that I have the information and it's been explained to me, I'm looking forward to starting my family and hopefully having a good pregnancy.
Cantaloupe, banana, orange, cabbage, green beans. Do you like any of those?
Oh, yes. Corn and green beans.
Oh, good. Good. We still want you to take that folic acid in addition to eating all the foods that are high in folic acid. Okay.
With regards to the warning of birth defects and preconceptual counseling, if we present it in that simple fashion and say this is an easy thing to do, then that emphasizes the importance of it. Let's go say hey then. All right. Let's do it. Jessica,
yes.
Dr. Ben Honeycutt, it's good to meet you. What I usually try to do is have them tell me what I explain to them. And if I get a vacant stare, then I have not succeeded.
Rock solid.
Hunky dory. Beautiful.
Right.
You breathe nice and easily, just nice and normally.
If I can get them to understand and tell me what I told them very simply and say, my folic acid is important, basically because I don't want a child with birth defect, then I have succeeded. That is my goal.
I'm 14 weeks pregnant with triplets. They had told me that folic acid would help prevent birth defects.
The idea is,
and that was the main reason that I paid attention to it. I just feel better. Feel better about taking it, knowing I can prevent birth defects, and that's really important.
What we really need to do is start to migrate away from our high blood pressure algorithm and start to migrate towards our preconceptual algorithm. That includes, of course, diet, exercise, STD prevention, but it also includes folic acid tablets. It is simple. Head circumference, he's going to be 19.5 inches, he's going to be up here.
Dr. Dunlop?
Well, I think it is true that we as primary care providers could do better. In fact, national survey data do show that about 85% of primary health care providers do know that folic acid is important, but only 42% actually knew the correct dose of folic acid. And when the rubber hits the road, really 50% of the time our primary care providers actually advising their patients about taking folic acid. So that really needs to be improved. And of course, knowledge is one such barrier, but as mentioned in this clip, that there are other barriers with time, of course, and sort of picking the right messages for each patient being other important barriers.
And this is really important. It's about all women. It's not just about the young woman who comes in and says, I want to be pregnant in the next year. This is about addressing folic acid intake along with many of the other healthcare issues, weight control, exercise, those things that we should be talking to our patients about, not only women, but men and women, at each visit. And the reality is that we can make more impact on people's health care by talking about the lifestyle issues, by talking about diet and exercise and vitamins, than we can with almost any other intervention we do. In the context of a busy practice, those are hard things to do. And it takes a concentrated effort at thinking about how you run your practice to get that information across at every visit. So this is about all women throughout our ages, from the time we're in our early teens until well past what we think of as menopause. Because I gotta say, I've had a few patients coming in thinking they were going through the change, and yet that UCG was positive. You know, so women think they may be beyond reproductive age and they may not be. Mm-hmm. All kinds of reasons why we need to address folic acid intake, vitamins, exercise, with all women at all ages at every visit.
I think it's important that in a busy practice, if the provider emphasizes the need for folic acid, that helps to show the patient that we think it's important, and we know that there are data to suggest that the advice from a physician on multiple occasions will be helpful in showing the import of that.
And what I do in my practice is whoever does the intake, and usually that's an MA or a nurse, asks the patient every visit what her allergies are, because she may have new ones, what her medication list is, and also what she takes as a supplement. Now, we ask a separate question about vitamins, because many women don't think about vitamins as a supplement, and they don't think about herbals or supplements as medications. So we list each one of those items separately, because women think of them separately. And that prompts me, because it's right there on the intake sheet, to bring it up. So whenever I see no vitamins, I will bring up the issue of a multivitamin for every woman at every visit.
And I wholeheartedly agree with Barbara on doing this for every woman as part of every visit, because the important factor here is that 50% of the pregnancies in the United States are unintended. So if we're hoping to make an impact on all of these women and all pregnancies, then we really have to address it with every woman, because many women are having unintended or unplanned pregnancies. And even among those who are intending and planning a pregnancy, again, they are not coming in prior to that pregnancy, prior to conceiving that pregnancy, to discuss it with their healthcare provider.
So what are the current recommendations for folic acid intake?
Well, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommends 400 micrograms, which is 0.4 milligrams of folic acid daily for low-risk women, and 4 milligrams, so 10 times the dose, for women at high risk.
The American Academy of Family Physicians recommendation is much the same. They state that all women of childbearing potential should have 400 micrograms of folic acid daily, and adding that for women in a high-risk group, meaning those who've had a prior neural tube defect, should have 4 milligrams per day beginning 1 to 3 months prior to conception and continuing through the first trimester. The American Academy of Pediatrics has those same first 2 points, and they go on to describe other high-risk groups who may need additional folic acid. And those additional high-risk groups identified by the American Academy of Pediatrics are women who themselves have a neural tube defect or whose partner does, women who have a family history, such as a sibling, a niece, or a nephew with a neural tube defect, women who have type 1 diabetes, and women with a seizure disorder who may be on carbamazepine or valproic acid. And then the select panel on preconception care convened by CDC that I'd mentioned before, they considered all of these recommendations, which are really very much the same, perhaps stated a little differently. And their recommendation, the most recent of which came out in 2008, specifies that all women of reproductive age should ingest 400 micrograms of folic acid daily, and they specifically state that that 400 micrograms should come from a supplement or a highly fortified food source, in addition to recommending that women should consume a folate-rich diet. So the important part about their recommendation is that it reinforces this is for all women of reproductive age, regardless of their childbearing plans at the time, and that that 400 micrograms should be obtained through supplements or highly fortified foods, since it's so hard to get this 400 micrograms through diet alone.
I think the key is that from adolescence right through the end of childbearing age, it's important for all women to be taking 0.4 milligrams or 400 micrograms of folic acid, unless they are considered high risk. The high risk groups that we've traditionally used are patients who've had a previous child with a neural tube defect. But clearly there are other groups of women who would be at high risk as well. And as noted earlier, the dose for them is significantly higher. It's 10 times. It's 4 milligrams. I think the other point that I like to make is these data are very convincing. These data are impressive to a variety of different groups, and the recommendations from a variety of different organizations are very consistent, suggesting that this is very important for a variety of our specialties.
And it's important that women understand that with the folate fortification in some foods, that that's really not enough for most people. I have a lot of very healthy patients who come in and say, I eat a great diet. I get my 5 to 7 fruits and veggies every day, and I don't really want to take a pill every day. And we really need to tell them that it's very difficult to get adequate folate intake from the diet. It has to do with how the foods are prepared. It has to do with reading labels and understanding doses. But most of us are trying to, those of us who are trying to be healthy, still can't get consistently enough folate in our diets to meet these recommendations.
And that's exactly right. Even since fortification, 25 to 30% of women are actually getting more than 400 micrograms per day of folic acid with a diet alone. And among that 25 to 30%, there's a wide spread based on race and ethnicity. 40% of white women are achieving the 400 micrograms per day post-fortification, whereas African-American women and Hispanic women, it's more around 19 to 20% even after fortification. And that has to do probably with culturally relevant differences in dietary patterns and practices.
I think it's important to note that a lot of the foods that are fortified are breakfast foods, and unfortunately many of us in our busy lifestyles are skipping breakfast, which is not good for other reasons, but suggests that some of the fortified foods are going to be ones that we're going to miss out on. And so there's some suggestion that we're actually decreasing the amount of folate that people are getting in a regular basis.
Well, we've talked about the lack of awareness and the recommended doses of folic acid. How well is this getting across to patients in preconception care?
Well, I would say that women aren't really getting this message, that folic acid is important preconceptionally. A small proportion of women are, but the largest group of women regard it as a vitamin that is important in pregnancy. And they really need that message that they need to be taking the folic acid prior to pregnancy.
And a lot of times women don't want to be thinking about pregnancy. You know, it's not on their radar screen. It's not something they've thought about. But what we know, again, is that half of pregnancies are unplanned. So this has just got to be a consistent message that for overall health, and it's more than just the folic acid in the vitamins. There's vitamin D. There are other things in a daily multiple vitamin that are important for women's health. And I think this is a message that really we just consistently every visit need to talk to our patients about.
Well, we've known for a long time that folic acid intake can help prevent birth defects. By now, don't all women know that they should be taking folic acid before pregnancy?
I think that women know about folic acid. What women don't know is when pregnancy is going to happen to them. It may not be on the radar. It may not be something that she's actively thinking about right now, or she really actively doesn't want to think about it right now, may happen anyway. So in the abstract, on a test, we would all get it right. But in our day-to-day lives, it's not something that's on our radar screen. We're not thinking about it today.
It's important for women to start before they become pregnant. It's too late if they wait. They need to be on it before their pregnancy.
And national data really do show that women aren't taking this before they become pregnant. The Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring Survey data show that about one-third of women were actually taking the recommended amount of folic acid in a multivitamin before becoming pregnant. And among women who are 18 to 24 years of age, who account for one-third of births, this practice was even less likely. Also, women who belong to racial and ethnic minority groups and women who are low income were also less likely to be taking that multivitamin before they became pregnant.
Why is it important to take folic acid preconception versus prenatally?
Well, it's very important because the neural tube is closing in the first few weeks after conception. So by the time a patient has missed her period, the neural tube has already begun its closure or maybe even completed it by the time she's in to see her obstetrician. So therefore, in order to affect the process, to make sure that neural tube closure occurs normally, it's important for her to already be on the supplemental doses of folic acid.
Yes, the date of mean entry into prenatal care for women is 12 weeks gestational age, well after the neural tube is already formed. So the whole basis for this recommendation that all women of reproductive age should be taking folic acid is then that they will have this folic acid on board before they become pregnant and during that time, that prior to the point they've actually presented for their prenatal care.